Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Annie Jennings PR Teleseminar Series. As you know, Annie Jennings PR is a national publicity firm specializing in promoting authors and experts to the media. Annie's vision and insight has revolutionized publicity, as many of the techniques, tools, and strategies in widespread use throughout the industry today have been developed by Annie Jennings PR. And Annie Jennings has been an invited guest lecturer for New York University's publishing program, the American Society of Journalists and Authors, and is the premier publicity expert in the country, with her knowledge sought out by professionals, organizations, and the media, including AOL.com, TheStreet.com, and leading business magazine Fast Company, who says that Annie Jennings PR is the place to go to learn how to become a best-selling author. And today's special guest is Dr. Joe Vitale, the author of way too many bestsellers to mention, but let's do that. Let's mention a couple, including The Attractor Factor, Life's Missing Instruction Manual, The Key, and Zero Limits. He's also recorded many audio programs, including The Missing Secret, and his latest, The Secret to Attracting Money. Joe has been in 11 movies, including the blockbuster The Secret, and the most recent, The Compass. He's also been a featured guest on Larry King and Donnie Deutsch's TV shows. He's created a miracles coaching program and helps people achieve their dreams by understanding the deeper aspects of the law of attraction and the law of right action. This man was once homeless, but today is a best-selling author who believes in magic and miracles. So welcome to Annie Jennings and Dr. Joe, Mr. Fire Vitale.
Thank you, Stacey. Welcome, Joe.
Thank you. This is exciting. It's always good to talk to you, and it's been too long since the last visit.
Absolutely, and of course I follow your work on a daily basis. I love all your offerings, and this one's particularly exciting to me because, you know what, in this day and age, in this time in our cycle, our economic cycle, attracting money is on everyone's minds.
Well, that's why I recorded it. I actually have enough audio programs out there. But I was hearing from so many people, especially last year, saying, what do I do? It? I've just lost my job, or I'm about to lose my job, or I'm broke, or I don't know how to pay the rent, that I was really feeling for them. And I thought, you know, I haven't actually created anything that specifically addresses money, the cash, and how to attract it. So I went into the studio last year, the end of last year, and recorded this. And you're right, people want it because it's sold out 3 times within 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a hot commodity. The secret to attracting money is the secret everybody wants to know, and who can blame them?
I agree, and you know what, I'll just have to say, and of course you don't know about this, but it's an exceptional value.
Mm.
And you know, I was just looking it over, and you get CDs, 6 CDs, 1 guidebook, 1 bonus DVD, and 2 bonus CDs, and the reason I'm pointing that out, because I said, oh boy, this is going to cost a fortune, and I'm looking at it and saying, my gosh, it's $119.
Yeah, I needed it to be affordable because, again, I was hearing from the people who are truly struggling, and I thought, I've got to give them something that it's going to cost us to produce it, but let's make it as low as possible so they can reach up and get it.
Yeah, exactly. It's a service to people. I agree with you. It's a service because people really do want to understand how they can trigger their natural ability to attract money. And I'll just start with this. Is making money or attracting money, Joe, just for so-called other people or rich people? I mean, why is it, can anyone do this?
Yeah, anyone can do this. It's really a matter of going into a deeper understanding of our psychology, because the only reason that a lot of people are struggling with money is because on an unconscious level, they're not comfortable with money.
Mm-hmm.
Consciously, they may be saying, I want more money, and I'm going to attract more money, and I've seen the movie The Secret 1,000 times, and I've read The Attractor Factor, and I practiced all the 5 steps, and they still have a struggle with it. And it's because at a deeper level, they have issues with love and deservingness and with money itself. And so once you take care of that, which is what I walk people through, and I can walk them through some of it on this call, once you take care of that, anybody can attract money. The money's out there. Money is to be circulated, and it's moving around, and it's in piles in different places.
Mm-hmm.
And even though the mainstream media says we're in doom and gloom right now, and we're in a recession, and maybe it's the worst since the Great Depression, well, we've still survived the Great Depression. We survived 11 recessions, and there are companies and people who are able to attract money into their lives by not having any issues with money itself. So that's a long answer to your question, but the short answer is yes, anybody can attract money.
Now that you brought up the issues, can you give me an example of issues? Because maybe we have issues but don't realize because we don't understand what it means to have an issue with money.
That's the million-dollar question. We all have issues with money, and we're always working on them. And the reason we have issues is that when we're born, we're like a blank slate, and we're downloading all this information from our family and our friends and the school and religion and government, media, the whole thing. And without exception, if we look just at our parents, they almost always had issues with money. Most of us have heard things like money doesn't grow on trees, money is the root of all evil. We watch TV shows and movies that portray the rich people as robber barons. And we unconsciously, not we don't really think about this because we are very programmable when we're growing up. We don't really think about this, but we're downloading information and coming to conclusions that says money's bad, rich people are evil, and I don't want to be or have either one of those because it'll mean something horrible about me.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the deeper awareness, is to realize, yeah, you can be doing all the things, writing intentions and doing visualization and everything else that you hear about to attract money into your life, but if unconsciously you have issues with money, you believe it's bad, or you believe if you have money you'll misuse it, or if you have money that people will misuse you, then you will unconsciously push it away. You will self-sabotage all of it because, in reality, you're actually doing something good for yourself. You believe you're protecting yourself.
This is
what you're trying to be safe.
Worth repeating, Joe. By pushing money away, you believe you're protecting yourself.
That's the big insight of the day.
Talk about the catch-22.
And that's what we have to get clear of. This has been the largest body of my work. In my book, The Attractor Factor, there's step three. It's called Get Clear. And I recorded a whole program called The Missing Secret, which is all about getting clear. And then I made this program, The Secret to Attracting Money, which is all about how to get clear when it comes to money. And what I mean by getting clear is, of that very issue we've just highlighted, that consciously you say you want money, unconsciously you feel it's bad, so you need to protect yourself from it, and you push it away. When you get clear that money's just neutral, money in and of itself means nothing, then you are free to attract it into your life and to go ahead and use it for whatever you want to use it for. And then you can even do it for very noble causes. You don't just take care of yourself. You can take care of family and friends, your community. You can do something for the world. But you're free to have money. One of the biggest secrets to attracting money is to realize that you've been protecting yourself from it, that you've actually put up this psychological barrier, this force field around yourself, and that when you remove it, and you can remove it by changing a belief or two, then money starts to come in. Then you see the opportunities that were there all along. They're always there. And now you're willing to take action on them, and now you're willing to follow through, and now you're willing to receive the money when it comes in.
Well, that's a big wow. I got to say, it sounds interesting, and I imagine everyone does have some issues with money, so it's very important to revisit how to clear yourself of your money issues so that money becomes neutral to you. There's no emotional attraction to money one way or the other. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's true. Money in and of itself, as I've said many times here and in the program and elsewhere, is neutral. It's just paper and ink. It's just coin. We give it value. And the problem becomes most of us give it value that is very negative. We use it as a survival tool. We use it as an evil tool. We think that it has some sort of powers, even ungodly powers, and we fear it and want it at the same time. And this inner war, this psychological tug-of-war, actually sets it up that we usually don't bring money into our lives, at least not a lot of it. And when we do bring it into our lives, that little bit that we let dribble in, we push it away real quick. We use it for bills and then complain about our bills. We use it for survival and then say we're not thriving. We use it for all kind of egoic, survival-oriented mechanisms, and we don't transcend it. So I say that you have to expand your awareness when it comes to money. The first thing is to get clear of the beliefs. And part of that is realizing that some of the beliefs are centuries old. They go all the way back to biblical literature, where supposedly it said money is the root of all evil. Well, if you buy that, if you believe money is the root of all evil, you're not going to want money in your life. because you don't want to be evil. You don't want to be tainted by the devil. So you have to look a little deeper here and realize that the biblical literature says the love of money is the root of all evil. Well, you don't even want to stop there, because when you do the research, and again, this is all about expanding your awareness, and I talk about this in the Secret to Attracting Money course. When you expand your awareness, you realize that wealthy people don't love money. This is one of the big, this is another million-dollar insight. This is another wow. Wealthy people don't love money. What they love is time and freedom. Time and freedom. Time is the limited thing that's in the world. Money's not the limited thing. Time is. And so wealthy people focus on getting money so they have more time and they have more freedom. Let me give you an example. Right now, as I'm doing this teleseminar with you live, and you say there's 1,000 or more people that have been able to get on to listen, I have tree trimmers outside on my property. And I have a country estate in Texas, and they're out there cleaning up the trees. Now, I could do that, but if I did that, I wouldn't be on this call with you. By having money, I have the time to do some of the things I'm better at. I think I'm better at doing these kind of teleseminars than I am at tree trimming. They are good at tree trimming, so I let them earn their money doing what they love, while I earn my money doing what I love. The world ends up working when we do that. But I'm not focused on money. I'm focused on time, and I'm focused on freedom. So one of the other big issues here and insights that's an aha moment is to realize that money is not the root of all evil. In fact, the lack of money is the root of all evil, as George Bernard Shaw said. And what you really want is to realize you want time and you want freedom, and money is a neutral way to give you leverage to help get that.
Mm-hmm. What about love of creation? Do you think that has anything to do with actually making money, too? If you love to create, and creation becomes energy, and energy becomes money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's all part of the cycle of life here. Mm-hmm. We all have something to create in the world. And when I say create, I'm not just thinking about an artist or a musician or a poet or an author. Everybody, the tree trimmer outside is doing creating right now. In fact, I told Narissa, we were looking outside this morning from the kitchen window, and I said, the trees actually look like a painting. It has been so cleaned up and so trimmed in such a beautiful way that I looked out and I thought, this is like a flawless work of art. So the tree trimmer is actually doing creating right now and will be paid for it. I personally believe every one of us has a calling. Every one of us has a life mission. Every one of us has been brought into the world with a piece of the puzzle, a part to play in the game of life. And when we tune into that and we play that, life works. In the introduction, you heard that I was homeless at one point. So how does a person go from homelessness 30-some years ago to having tree trimmers do his country estate right now while I'm doing a call about the secret to attracting money? And it comes from this continuous finding out of my calling and what's in the way of me participating in my calling, and realizing that the more I get comfortable with money and realize that it's just leverage to have time and freedom, the more I can actually attract money in my life. I think it's all a process of self-awareness and discovery.
Well, absolutely. I wonder if you can tell us a little bit about some of the myths that many people do believe, such as that keep them in a state of victimhood and poverty consciousness.
Yeah.
Media conspiracies, even. What are those all about?
Geez, how much time do we have here, Annie?
Right.
You know, I did a seminar a few months ago with my friend Mark Ryan. It was called Attract Wealth. And just before it started, a woman came up to me who's a friend of mine from San Antonio, and she's in the real estate business. And so I asked her how her business was going, because, geez, if you listen to the media, it sounds like everybody's in the toilet.
It's
all going down the drain.
It sure does.
It sounds horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she was doing great. And I looked at her kind of surprised, and I said, you are? And she went on to say, oh, yeah, I just closed a few million-dollar deals, and I just sold this office complex, and I've got another one closing next week. And I looked at her and said, what are you doing that is making your real estate business work where everybody else is struggling? And she paused for a minute, and she said, well, I think the number one thing I'm doing is I'm turning off the media.
Exactly.
I'm not listening to the mainstream news. So I think a big myth out there is that the mainstream news is giving you information you can use, and that's not the truth. the mainstream news is giving you the nightmare scenarios that are designed to put you into fear. And if you're not aware of what it's doing to your mind and how that influences your thoughts and then your behavior and your actions and your results, then you will fall into that and you will quickly become a victim. And in fact, I don't know that I ever said this before, so this will be an exclusive. When 30-some years ago, whatever it was, or 40 years ago, I can't believe I'm saying that, 40-some years ago when I was in college, I was studying as a journalist. My major was public relations journalism. And we were taught how to find the news. And the definition of the news was anything that was wrong, anything that was bad, anything that was uncomfortable. We didn't go out and find the juicy, happy, positive stories. We were told to go out there and find the people who set themselves on fire, which is what they were doing at that time with Vietnam and so forth. And so I learned quickly that the media is designed to find or create bad news, and then they are the skilled, oh, they are so skilled at sending it right into your brain. And if you don't have your awareness about you, and almost none of us do, because we don't even hear to have that awareness about us until there's a call like this. If you don't have the awareness about you to protect yourself and to realize what the media is doing, the mainstream media, then you end up being brainwashed to think that the world is going down the toilet, that everything is actually terrible, and that your future is uncertain. If you turn all of that off, like my real estate friend does, and you start listening to the positive stuff, like this call right now, or listening to audios like The Secret to Attracting Money, and you brainwash yourself with the positivity that you have a choice to put into your brain, now you start to see the opportunities, now you have more energy, now your vibration is up higher, and from a law of attraction standpoint, you will attract into your life all of the things to match this higher vibration. So I think one of the big myths that we should just take a gun to right now is the whole one that the media, the mainstream media anyway, is out to help you, because it's not.
That's right. They're out to just report the most negative things they can to keep their audience. So that's a really good point, because you're absolutely right. So are you recommending that people just stop listening to the news?
Well, I do. I've drawn the line and said, look, just turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need it. Most of the time, if you become very aware of what you're watching when a news show comes on, they're reporting on things often that's not even in your area. Sometimes they have to go find it in another country. They couldn't find anything bad in your area today, so they went to another state or another country even to find something bad and then report on it.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the time, it does not directly influence you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a while back, I interviewed Bill Bartman, who was once homeless, and then he became a billionaire. And I was talking about this whole thing about turning off the news. And he said he agreed. However, because he is sometimes asked to be on the news as a consultant and
right.
a guest expert, he said he turns on the news for about 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to hear what the headlines are, so that he's at least informed about them and he can comment on them. So he'll give the mainstream media about 3 minutes, but then he shuts it down.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to find your own balance. For me, I think you can have a happy life never hearing the news at all,
mm-hmm.
but if you feel more comfortable finding out what the headlines are, then do so. But have your mental awareness on high alert so that you don't fall into fear. It's just too easy, Annie, for somebody to listen to something bad happening or the predictions about something bad happening, and then you can feel yourself shrivel up. You can feel yourself locked down and feel like, oh, I got to hold on to my money, or I can't take risks right now, or I can't open my business, or I can't take any sort of opportunity that I see, because you're afraid. And fear is the thing that is going to block you from attracting money. You've got to go into a trust and drop fear.
Right, absolutely. And as a publicist, one thing I know in actually booking the guests who do comment on the news is that the media does have a tendency to cover a story most of the day. If it's a prominent headline, they'll continually create segments around that particular headline and run the news story all day long, only different aspects of it.
Yeah.
So therefore, if you are watching it for a long time, you really are being bombarded with a lot of the news and the same news, the same message generally throughout the day, so you're really not getting a break. So you've got to watch that, I'm sure.
Yeah, and they'll make up the news. Once they find something like that, they'll find experts or pseudo-experts to comment it. comment on it. You'll have people for it, you'll have people against it. And all of that talk, for me as an entrepreneur, as a guy who wants to create global change, for me a guy who wants to attract money, all of that talk is a waste of my time. It's a waste of my energy. And if we go back to one of the insights I said earlier, very wealthy people want time and freedom more than anything else. So if I'm wasting my time watching the hot air being broadcast over the news, I'm not using that time to create or to produce or to sell, depending
on
what it is.
Right, managing your energy. So that's an interesting concept, too.
Yeah.
Managing your energy correctly and don't let it... I think it's kind of like the whole energy vampire. I'm sure you've heard of that.
Oh, absolutely.
You allow someone else control over your energy rather than you yourself maintaining control. Tell us what it's like to have control over your energy, over your focus, over where you're putting your creative thought.
That's a great question. It's really a matter of honoring yourself. Most of us don't do that. In fact, one of the fundamental beliefs that virtually everybody has, including everybody listening, they're all going to think they don't have it, but almost everybody does, and that's the belief that I don't love myself. I don't love myself, or I don't deserve success, or I don't deserve money. Some variation of I'm not worthy. And one of the things that I teach people, and I talk about it at great length in the Secret to Attracting Money course, is the idea that you have to raise your level of deservingness within yourself. And one of the ways to do that is to start being honest with yourself about what you want. And sometimes when you first start doing that and you're not used to it, you should protect that within yourself. In other words, if you're honest with yourself and say, I've always wanted to write a cookbook. I've always wanted to be on the radio talk show circuit and be a guest expert on, you know, rabbit raising. I don't know, just make up something.
Right.
But it's unique to each person. Somebody wants to be the greatest tree trimmer. Somebody wants to be an author. Somebody wants to be a speaker. Somebody else wants to have their own Italian restaurant. Somebody else wants to sell magic tricks by mail. I don't know, but everybody has their own thing. When you're first honest with yourself and you're realizing that, you know, this is what I've always wanted to do, and if I love myself, I should pursue my calling, my interest, my passion, my love, my heartfelt desire. When you first start doing that, I'm a big believer in protecting yourself. I say don't share it with everybody, because there are some energy vampires, if you will, or energy drainers, if you will, or naysayers out there who will very quickly rain on your parade. When I was first starting out, I was working for a big oil company in Houston 25 to 30 years ago. And at that point, I remember I would spend my lunch hours in my office writing my first book. But I was very careful not to tell the people around me what I was doing, because I felt vulnerable. I felt like if I tell them, and I don't have a history of being an author, I'm just a techie here at this oil company and a flunky making whatever I was making every week, that I could actually give up my dream if I listened to them. I didn't have the inner strength. And I feel a whole lot of people, when they're first starting to attract money and they're first starting to follow their dream, and maybe they're coming out of the cocoon and they're starting to think, oh, I can fly, I'm going to jump out of the nest. Well, I think it's probably important to stay away from the negative sayers and keep it to yourself until you get to the point where you feel you have the inner strength, the inner conviction, the inner confidence to share it with others. Now, today, I can be on a call with you and say, look, I just started Operation Yes, which is my movement to end homelessness and foreclosures in this country. Well, if I announced it, I don't know, 15 or 20 years ago, I probably would have done it very reluctantly, if at all, and maybe wouldn't even have had the idea, because I wouldn't have had the courage to even allow myself to think that big. So I think everybody knows that they have something they want to do. Everybody wants to attract money. They're starting to work on themselves. They're starting to love themselves. But as they start to step out into the sunshine, maybe they want to be careful of any of the shadows that walk around and keep
sure.
it to themselves at first.
Sure, absolutely. And because even though we don't want to believe this, Joe, there are people out there who secretly do like others to fail for whatever reason that can be. Right.
Well,
judge them. It could be just their conditioning.
Well, it is their conditioning, and they don't want anybody else that they're close to succeed, because now they have to look at their own failure or success and be responsible for it.
Right.
So I really am encouraging people that you have to take care of you. And this is a statement I say in the course, and I've said many times and places. If you want the world to be a happier, healthier, wealthier place, contribute one happy, healthy, wealthy person to it. You.
Mm-hmm.
Take care of you. When you are healthy, happy, and wealthy, you are contributing something to the world that will make a difference. And as you get more powerful in that and wealthier in that, you can actually do things on a physical, practical level that you couldn't do before. I mean, when I was homeless, I couldn't make any difference at all for other homeless people in Dallas or in Camden, New Jersey. But now, because I have taken care of my wealth and I know the secret to attracting money and it's coming in through multiple streams of income and there's no limit. The sky's not even the limit anymore. I can contribute to people, causes, fundraisers, cities, shelters, whatever I want. And that's the great joy. You take care of yourself, and as you get stronger, you're able to take care of others as well, including the entire planet.
Well, congratulations. We do love you, and we certainly admire your energy, too. It always seems like, you know what it seems like to me, Joe? You're never out of ideas.
Well, I'm not, and this is a good segue into part of what I talk about in The Secret to Attracting Money. People often will ask me, how are you so prolific and so productive? I had one of my assistants put together a bibliography of my work a couple years ago, and I thought it would take her a day, and it took her 2 weeks. And when she was done, it was 47 pages long. And I looked at it and I said, who wrote all of these books? Who recorded all of these audios? Who filmed all these DVDs? Who came up with all these courses? Who came up with these coaching programs? And it was all me. But it was me doing one thing at a time. I didn't sit down and say, oh, I need a 47-page bibliography. I need to write 30 books. I didn't do any of that. My rule of thumb is, and this is the lesson for everybody, is that when an idea comes to me, I treat it as a gift. I didn't ask for it. I didn't necessarily even earn it. But there it is. It's in my awareness. It's an idea for a book. It's an idea for a program. It's an idea for The Secret to Attracting Money. And my part of the co-creation process is to honor it. Now, most people, when they get an idea, they don't honor it. They talk themselves out of it. They're critical. They are second-guessing it. They are negative about it. They'll say, oh, I don't have the time. I don't have the money. I don't have the experience. They'll say, I'll get to it next week, next month, next year. And the reality is they don't.
Mm-hmm.
What happens with me, and again, this is the lesson for everybody, because you're all getting ideas. You're getting ideas. I'm getting ideas.
Sure.
Is that when it comes to me, I stop what I'm doing and I write it down. I honor it. This is a way of confirming or at least telling my unconscious mind or the divine, wherever you think the ideas come from, that I like this and I want more.
Right.
And I'm acknowledging it. And then the second part is, and this is one of the biggest secrets to attracting money, I take action. I start writing the book or recording the audio or making the movie, whatever it happens to be, as quickly as humanly possible. Sometimes I have to schedule it, and I can't do it that day. But my point is, when you honor the ideas that come to you with acknowledgement and with action, you are moving into a dance where the universe, if you will, or the divine, if you will bestow on you the rewards that we here on Earth like, including money. So one of the secrets to attracting money is honoring the ideas that come to you and taking action on them. I'm often in a seminar when I'll ask people, have you ever had an idea for a product or service? Almost everybody raises their hand, and I'll say, and then 6 months later you went into a store or a bookstore or whatever, and you saw your product or service in action or on the shelf. And almost everybody raises their hand. And my rule of thumb is, if I don't act on an idea that has come to me as a gift, somebody else will.
Right, of course. That's exactly right.
That, and the first to market profit.
That's my seeds of a tomato. Do you ever notice how many seeds are in a tomato? But think about that. And so if there's a certain amount of seeds in a tomato, and one tomato plant yields that many tomatoes, and they're all packed with that many seeds, one of those, you know why they have so many seeds? Because just one needs to grow.
Yep.
So everybody's given these gifts, and then it's the one that take action that, you know, has a chance to manifest itself.
Yeah, and the first
really
one to act, the first one to take action usually profits in the marketplace. We usually remember the first person to bring out a service, not the people who bring out the knockoff services.
Mm-hmm.
So taking action as quickly as possible is one of the secrets to attracting money.
That's good. Now, I understand that there may be about 9 secrets. I know that your CD, you've got the 6 CD series that comes in your program, The Secret to Attracting Money, and you've got 6 CDs and 2 bonus CDs. And we know that the first one, I'll just read the title so that people on the line know how the CD program is laid out. The first one is The Spirit of Wealth Building, Your Money Attractor Assessment. Now, that sounds very good, Joe. Yeah, CD number 2, How to Make Money in Any Economic Climate. Well, we certainly want to know that one. And now we're really talking about some of the secrets to attracting money. Joe has 9 of them. One of them was honoring the gift of the idea. What are some of the other ones, Joe?
Well, I was afraid you'd ask me because I don't remember all of them offhand. I will tell you one that comes to mind, which is definitely talked about in the course, The Secret to Attracting Money. And it's something that occurred to me, and this is an example of receiving inspiration and acting on it.
Mm-hmm.
It occurred to me when I was in Chicago and I was driving over to the studio to record this program. And almost all of this program is, if not channeled, it's inspired, it's ad-libbed, it all came to me or through me. I didn't have a script, I didn't have notes. It's all just something that I opened myself to receive and then recorded. So on the way over to the studio, and I'm thinking about the program, The Secret to Attracting Money, it suddenly came to me about the idea that too many people lock themselves down inside themselves when they get fearful about money. And one of the things they do is they quit spending. Now, they, of course, will buy food, they will pay their rent, their phone, whatever the survival essentials are, but they lock themselves down otherwise. And I saw that as a way to block money.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the things a lot of people are doing. Many of the people on the call probably are nodding their heads going, yeah, I'm doing that, but I have to do that because I don't have that much money or I'm going to run out of money. And that's one of the myths that we want to look at, is that you're not going to run out of money. If you look at your entire life, you might have moments when you didn't have money in your pocket for a little while, but money always came back in.
Well, let me just say one thing. If you are working in your spiritual destiny, which you did talk about, that every person is a piece of the puzzle, and when you get to, and when you discover that piece, you know, that's when you really start to begin your life. And that's what you're talking about here, is because if you're working in your spiritual destiny, you just have to get out there and do it. And the money is going to come naturally, because that's how it's designed to come to you, is through your working in your spiritual gifts, because that's really where you're going to working in your talent. Talent breeds new ideas, new successes, new opportunities for you, and then one thing leads to another, and you're making all the money you want. But then it becomes not about the money, Joe. It becomes about making the difference in the world.
Yeah, it becomes following your passion and doing what you love. And it's not about the money. That's why the very wealthy people are not focused on money. They might use money as a way to keep track or keep score of what they're doing, but they're actually enjoying what they're doing and focusing on their time and freedom.
Right.
But one of the secrets I wanted to reveal to you is this whole concept of what I call prosperous purchasing. Prosperous purchasing.
Oh,
and I talk about it in.
That sounds fun.
It is fun. Oh, my goodness.
I want to go purchase to be prosperous today. Sounds fun. Tell me more about that.
It's the opposite of what most people are doing. When they get fearful about money, they close down, which I think is a great way to unattract money. But if you want to know the secret to attracting money, open up. Let some money go. I quickly tell people, I'm not telling you to go into debt. I'm not telling you to tap out your credit cards. What I am telling you is that if in the moment there is a product or service, something you want that is going to help you feel good and you have the money to do it, I say do it. And I say do it for a couple of, I think, very logical reasons. One is you're going to help the economy. The economy needs to have money flowing. And when people lock down their money and they put it in their mattress and they don't spend and they zip up their wallets and purses, the economy feels that. That's when it begins to feel like a recession. So you want to unbuckle all of that and start spending. The bigger thing and the more important thing that happens is that when you spend money, you send a psychological signal to yourself that you deserve it. You are loving yourself. You're taking care of yourself. You deserve the very thing that you said you want. You are showing that you respect yourself. And the second thing you're saying is that I have enough. you can imagine that if you're sitting in front of a guitar that you want to buy, and you've got the money to buy it, but out of fear you say, no, not today, I can't do it, I need to have this money, I may run out by Friday, I may be starving, you're actually programming yourself for failure. You're focused on the negative, you're focused on limitation, you're focused on scarcity, you are lowering your energy from a law of attraction, from a just a psychological standpoint, forget the law of attraction, just from a psychological standpoint, you are now saying, I don't have enough, I am not worthy, I don't deserve, I don't believe the future is going to be very good, I'm going to shut down and live in this dark cloud. That's how you unattract money. Prosperous purchasing is how you attract money. And again, not going into debt, not borrowing from strangers, not tapping out credit cards. But if you and the money are there and the item that you want is there, the service, take care of yourself and go ahead and get it.
Sure, absolutely. You know, as everyone knows, I'm a publicist, and everyone who comes to me, most everyone has a book, right?
Mm-hmm.
But really, what we've been able to do is move people from the thinking. Now, here's where the big successes come in with my clients, Joe, is that we move them from thinking, how many books can I sell today? Because there's 1.2 million books on the market right now. All right, so they have to understand that 1 million or less sell 99 copies, or 1 million books sell 99 copies or less. So therefore, it becomes not about book sales, it becomes about something else. But what is that something else? So I ask my clients to think of it not in terms of how many books did I sell today, but how many people did I help with my message today? And that mindset is the secret of success for my clients, where they now start to double, triple their income. Whatever they were making when they started, they're doubling, tripling their income, and they're selling books, and we're not even trying to. We're trying to share messages that come from a person's life's work, and it turns out that that's the most creative thing. Then their desire for material things actually falls away, because their desire to help people through creativity and new ideas and new solutions to problems, that's what takes over the desire for material things. So now you can use your money, you can spend your money, but you can spend it on things that move you forward in your dream in this world. And gone is like, I want the big screen TV. You could care less what you're watching TV on. It's not important anymore. What's important is how much you're really giving of yourself to the world. How much of your spiritual destiny are you really living in? Because that's happiness.
I love that. You know, I had dinner with Louise Hay last September, and I met her at her penthouse, and I mean, she's this famous author. And
oh, yeah, she has a nice publishing house. It's
Hay House Publishing. And wonderful line of books by her and by others.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was very privileged to get to hang out with her. And she took me to dinner, and one of the first things she said was, she's never, ever focused on making money. She asked herself, how can I serve? And when she answered the question decades ago, and when she was struggling at one point, instead of saying, where am I going to get the money, she said, how can I serve people? She started to put together that little book, which I think is called Heal Your Life, the one that has all of the ailments in it and then what it means on a psychological level.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. And then you take care of it. That book's, I have no idea how many it's sold, but it's gone through numerous printings. It's still out there in every single bookstore, Amazon, all over the place. It has helped her become this very wealthy person. When I met her, she has this two-story penthouse at the top of a building in downtown San Diego. She's got this priceless works of art all through her palace.
Yes, but we don't care.
We don't care, and I don't know that she really cares.
The thing about this is, I really say that wealth is not how much money you have. It's really not. It's about how much you're really serving others, because I'll tell you what, you will be rich, and you don't care. Then the surroundings mean nothing, because you realize, you know what, you can't take all this with you, but what you can take with you is what you can leave behind. That is all this amazing change and influence to people, and you've helped people. You've
you know, there's an Australian entrepreneur by the name of Roger Hamilton, and he says this wonderful line. He says, wealth is what you have left over after you've lost all your money. And every time I heard it at the wealth seminar I did with Mark Ryan, and I've said it repeatedly myself, I think I talk about it in the Secret to Attracting Money course, but it's a wonderful insight. Because all of us typically think wealth is the cash. Wealth is how much you have in the bank or how big your house is. But what he's saying is that wealth is what you have left over after you've lost all your money, meaning wealth is you. Wealth is your resources, your energy, your talents, your passion, everything that's in and around you. It has nothing to do with money. And that's actually one of the greatest secrets to attracting money, is to realize when you feel the wealth of yourself without money, and you feel the wealth of this moment, which we can call the spiritual now, then you are in a position to actually attract money at warp speed. Because now you're no longer coming from desperation. You're no longer sending out a signal that says, oh my God, how am I going to feed myself? Or, oh my God, how am I going to pay my car payment 6 months from now? What you're focusing on is the wealth, the beauty, the miracle even. And I guess I'm going to use that word miracle because that's what I really mean. The miracle of now. When you focus on the priceless life that you have in this amazing moment that you're experiencing, now you're in a place of purity where money and the other things that you've been longing for can come into your being in the next moments without struggle. Now it can come freely.
That's the key, and it happens naturally. You don't have to struggle for money. You have to just work in your passion, in your dream. And one of the things that I also tell people, we do a lot of empowerment teleseminars because publicity is integrated in many areas. It's not just publicity, getting on the air and being a guest on the show. It's about really what you're going to share with the world who's listening at that particular moment. We really encourage people to find out where their passion is, and many people don't know where it is because they haven't really started searching for it. But one great indicator is if you have a feeling of dread about doing something, that is a very big right billboard sign saying if you're in dread, you're not in your spirituality, you're not in your destiny. Okay, you're not where you're supposed to be. Am I right, Joe? Well,
yeah,
you're doing what you
that.
Love to do. Like you've got the 47-page, CV about everything you've accomplished. You didn't even know you were doing all that stuff because you're working in your passion.
Yeah, I was just doing the next thing.
And look at all the money. Naturally.
I was just doing whatever the next project was. You just keep on doing that, and 30 years later, you look and you've got a 47-page bibliography.
But if you stayed in a job that you dreaded, you would not be the man you are today, and you wouldn't have shared and created so many wonderful things for people to help empower their lives.
Let's look at that for a second. Because I mentioned working for an oil company in Houston 30 years ago, whatever it was, and I was writing while I was working for them. I wrote my first book on my lunch hour. I was trying to speak while I was working for them.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to do it in the evenings. I was doing it on weekends. But I was afraid to quit. I was afraid because I had my security blanket. It was the oil company. I knew that I was getting my little chips every Friday, which was going to pay my rent and some food. I was afraid. I ended up getting laid off. Now, I'm saying this for a reason. I, first of all, was afraid. A lot of people listening know what they need to do, but they're afraid. And you have to face your fear. You're going to have to take the jump and pursue your passion and your dream. In my case, I was laid off. I'm pointing that out for a reason, too. I think it was USA Today last week. I was up in Utah, and I saw the headlines that was thrown outside my hotel room door. And it says something like 15 million people laid off in 2008 alone. What was interesting is that they didn't say it in the same article, but in a previous article they had said about 70% of people who have jobs hate them. And so
instead
here,
of being thankful.
Yeah, they should be thankful instead.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what my mindset should have been.
Mm-hmm.
I was at a job that was just token. It was in survival. I knew what I wanted to do. I was afraid. They laid me off. I did not say thank you at the time because I didn't know what was happening next. Had I not lost my job, had I not pursued my passion, I would not be here today with 30 books and a car collection and, my estate with tree trimmers out there and being on a call like this, being interviewed by you or having the secret to attracting money out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying this as a story of inspiration. I want people to hear, wow, if Joe can go from homeless to poverty to working at a job he didn't like, but pursuing his love, and over time, as he got better and better at clearing up his own beliefs and realizing he deserved it, he gets to a place where he's the guest on an Annie show, I mean, then it's possible for anybody listening to have a dramatic breakthrough. And that's what I'm trying to encourage people to be aware of, that you might be in a place or a job you don't like, you're unhappy about, you're uncertain about. But that's only this moment, and this moment is temporary. Focus on your passion. Focus on serving. Focus on coming from trust and love, And then you will begin to move out of that desperation
and
move into attracting money.
So move away from dread. That's the bottom line here. If you truly dread something, that is a big that's yourself trying to tell you, trying to say, move away from this situation. If you dread doing something, you've got to learn to move away from it and do so responsibly, you know, over time and make responsible choices. But your goal is to be in your dream awake. Anyone can dream, but living your dream while you're awake is the ultimate goal.
Oh, I love what you just said. Be in your dream awake. I want to write that down.
Be in your dream awake, because you can't, don't run away from your goals and dreams. Go after them. And I really believe there's no time like the present, and not to waste a minute. It's a mindset where this day today is a chance to do every single thing that we did yesterday all over again, only better. And that's what I love. And, you know, a great philosophy for me, I used to think when I was much, much younger, it used to be about, oh, I want to make $1 million. Okay, great. Now how am I going to do that? Then I learned, then I forgot I wanted to make $1 million and just got down to, like, you know, normal life. And then I realized what I love to do, and it became more about the work that I love. I never thought about money. And now, obviously, we have a very successful business that's more successful than anything money can buy. And I wouldn't trade it for the world, because every day I get to work in my destiny, in where I'm really meant to be in this world, which is helping you, Joe, and others share their messages with millions so you can go out and change the world. So here I exist. My reason for existing is to help you reach your goals and dreams, and to be a factor in this world, to be an influential, to share what you need to share so your piece of the puzzle gets put in the right place, and you can help others put their piece of the puzzle in the right place as well.
Exactly.
So once I discovered really what makes me happy, I was able to then change the way the whole PR business works. The whole new business models have come in, because this is all creation. It's all creation. I look at it, because when you're working in your mission statement, you automatically see what's not working in your particular area. You know what that opens up you to? Creating the so-called better mousetrap. That is, all of a sudden you see, well, if I'm here to serve people and the current model in this business isn't quite working, this is what would work better. And you go off and create it. Well, you're going to attract all the customers, because they're going to want to work with you. Mm-hmm. Because you're the one who's created the better mousetrap, because you're in it for them, not in it for the money. And that's what we did here in PR, by creating all these new publicity strategies and business models that have taken over the business, the publicity community. Now everybody's using the model, and I'm happy. I want people to be successful.
And it's showing. You're serving.
Oh, yeah, exactly. We've created the all-hard business model, which is one of my best creations. And it's a powerful model that's really based in creating products or services that serve others, that others can buy. Why? Because it helps them serve others. It's so simple. But people don't realize. It's so simple. When you create products or services that help others achieve their goals and dreams, they will purchase your products because it helps them move forward in their life. Very
and that's exactly
philosophy.
It. I'm glad you even said that, because, you know, in the Secret to Attracting Money course, I actually talk about marketing and selling in here, and I redefine it because, you know, I've had a whole career as a marketer, an internet marketer, and copywriter, and I've written many books about that. But what people didn't realize is that I do it from spirit, and I do it from love. And I've redefined marketing in this course, where I say that marketing is really you sharing your product or service with the people who will most welcome hearing about it when you tell them about it.
Right.
So then marketing becomes a sharing of your heart and not some sort of manipulation technique.
That's right. And then you pop a guarantee on there and you're in business.
Yeah,
the second you say, if this doesn't work for you, you know, return it, you can get your money back. The second you realize the flaws in your product, and now you perfect them.
Oh, what a good insight. From a marketing standpoint, you're quite the entrepreneur there.
Oh, truly.
Because you're right.
I would
tell people, guarantee your product, guarantee your service. And if they were hesitant, I'd look at them like, well, why aren't you? What do you need to fix in your product or service?
Exactly. No fine print, people.
Yes.
Yeah, you know what? What we do here, we do not sell promises. You cannot buy a try from our company. You can only buy an end result. Now, in publicity, Joe, you've been around. Publicity is very hard to define a deliverable and purchase it in my business. Well, you know what? If our clients can't buy it, try. If I'm trying for PR, you're not paying me. If I'm getting it, then you're paying me.
Wow.
Yeah, so we're the creators of the famous pay-for-placement business model. It's just you only pay if we get it for you. Well, guess what that what happened there? Now, that was a wild move. That was a Jerry Maguire move. This is not going to work. It was like, I said, I'm not going to work this way anymore. This doesn't serve anybody working on retainer, a monthly fee, and then how does that work? It was just the way the PR business was structured was not correct. Not correct for the service of the people and for to allow all these people on the line to share their messages with others. It wasn't created that way. There was barriers to entry. There was limited access. Only the people who had a lot of money could buy PR services.
Mm-hmm.
We just said, no, we're not going to do this anymore. Everybody gets to play. And we built the business model under that premise that everybody's allowed to play this game. And then they only pay us if we succeed in getting them the media placements, not trying.
And when you came up with that idea, were you nervous or excited about telling the world about it?
Thrilled. Thrilled. I never looked back.
And how did the world respond when you first told them about it?
Well, initially, they were a little surprised that somebody would work that way, but they were mm-hmm. thrilled that I was willing to do it, mm-hmm. willing to be in the game with them. So they loved the fact that it served them, because for so long, their needs were not being served by any of the products they were allowed to buy.
And now, see, right there is one of the secrets to attracting money. You were focusing on the client. You were
mm-hmm.
focusing on the client who was complaining, why do I have to pay whatever they were paying to big PR agencies or even small ones
sure.
who just wanted retainers? And when you focus on serving those people and asking yourself, how can I serve them, what do I want, and then, of course, charging them for it, but you're charging them for what they're willing to pay for because you've listened to them. I think that's the secret to attracting money, and you are one of my favorite people, favorite publicists. You've got one of my favorite services going on, so you are living proof that this works.
Exactly, and another thing I did is I let the market define the price of my services.
Oh, I didn't know you did that. That's
yeah,
a nice touch.
The market defined the price. I did not have to set my prices. The market told me. If they wanted to buy my product that now served them, because I was sure of it, because the guarantee's in place, so all the flaws were out, I let the market tell me what they wanted to pay. If they were buying my services, I was priced exactly right. If they weren't, I wasn't priced right. The offer was incorrect. So now we have the perfect price, and it hasn't changed in over 10 years because the market has set the price.
Well, where is your website out? Since we should mutually, and that's another thing, when you come from the secret to attracting money, you're not in competition. You end up supporting each other. I love win-win relationships. I'm
mm-hmm.
being interviewed for the secret to attracting money, but I want you to get promotion too. So where is the website you want to give out?
Oh, well, thank you. That's very kind of you. It's AnnieJenningsPR.com. That's AnnieJenningsPR.com. And there you go. We're just, we just exist to help you guys be successful. That's our bottom line. And Joe, you've done a great job today. I really want to thank you. Is there anything, like any shortcut? I know that's one of your CDs. The fifth CD in Joe's series is Shortcuts to Attracting Whatever You Want. And I'm curious to hear about any shortcuts that you might
well,
want
let
to
me,
share with us.
I guess first of all, I should say that anybody interested can look at the material at The Secret to Attracting Money at www.thesecrettoattractingmoney or www.secrettoattractingmoney.
Mm-hmm.
Either one of those will get you to the information. But there are a couple shortcuts, and the very first one, and it might sound a little glib at first, but it's about taking the edge off. When you are desperate and you are struggling and you are in fear, you don't see your opportunities, you don't act on any opportunities, and you're sending out an energy from a law of attraction or just psychological standpoint that is not going to get you more of what you want, it'll get you more of what you don't want. So you have to take that edge off, and you have to do it in whatever way is going to be immediately useful to you. And sometimes it means getting a job. Sometimes it means taking extra work. Sometimes it means borrowing money from a family member. And I'm not suggesting any one of these in particular. I'm saying open your mind to ways that will help you relax. Stuart Wilde had a book out one time called The Trick to Money is Having Some. And I used to hate the title because I thought, what does that mean? Well, 20-some years later, it means a lot to me, because what it says is if you have money or the feeling of already having money, and I should pause on that because that's very important, if you even have the feeling that you already have money, you are in a place to attract more money. It's the desperation and fear that pushes it away. So that's the first shortcut, is to take the edge off in some way, and I talk about how to do that in the Secret to Attracting Money course. And the second thing, and this is probably the big one that I want everybody to remember, is that when we say we want more money or a house or more clients or a car or a job or more sales, whenever we say we want anything, we're saying we want it because in our heart we believe we'll be happier when we get it. And that's a great illusion. That is actually set up for self-destruction, because we go searching down the road, running down the road, chasing down the road for that car, that house, that job, that money, whatever it is we say we want. And if and when we get it, we have a momentary thrill, and then we chase down the road the next fill-in-the-blank. The reality here, the wake-up insight, the million-dollar insight of the day, is that what you want, that happiness you seek, is available right now. When you choose to see it, and this is a matter of looking around and being grateful for this moment, maybe for this call, maybe for you, Annie, or maybe for the material we've both been sharing here, you find something to be grateful for, and you settle in to the miracle of this moment, and you realize happiness is now. You are now in a better place to attract the house, the car, the money, the sales, the relationship, the fill in the blank. That's the greatest shortcut to the Secret to Attracting Money of all time. And people may have to listen to it a couple times. They may have to get the whole program, The Secret to Attracting Money, and absorb everything in it to realize what they want is here in this moment. The past is gone. The future will never be here. You only have this moment. When you realize the moment is your point of power, your source of happiness, you are at a place to vibrationally, psychologically attract more to be happy about.
Well, that sounds wonderful. Yes, I agree. So I want to tell our audience that we've been listening today to Dr. Joe Vitale, and he is the creator of the new audio series, The Secret to Attracting Money. And you can find out a lot more about that at the www.thesecrettoattractingmoney.com or secrettoattractingmoney.com. And Joe, I do have a recording of this available to you. I will send
Thank
it to you.
You're
free to post.
I will.
Anywhere you'd like to post. And I just want to let you know that we have over 35,000 clients here at Annie Jennings PR. They all were invited today. Blockbuster attendance. We are sold out. I've been listening to calls in the background of people trying to get in, and they're busted. So we'll definitely make the audio recording available to everyone who couldn't make it today. It will be posted on my site as well, and I keep it up there for a nice long time, so everyone gets a chance to help themselves by listening to our audio recording, Joe.
Oh, thank you. I want to say Godspeed to all the listeners. And Annie, I am particularly grateful to you. You are doing great work, and it's always fun to talk to you. I've lost count of how many times we've done interviews, but anytime you want to do it, I'm game.
Terrific. Well, thank you so much. I encourage everyone to go check out secrettoattractingmoney.com with one of our favorites. Joe, you are absolutely one of my favorites. I love your story. You're a really good guy. And I like that you price this. I just want to finalize it to say pricing is important when you do products, and this is a good price, and I think it's fair, and I like seeing fair pricing models. So I just wanted to tell you that you have my respect for that one.
Oh, thank you very much.
All right, good job. And talk to you next time.
All right. Bye-bye,
okay.
All.
Bye-bye.